I just wanted to say just thanks first to BCC. I think I can speak for myself and the other pastors that were ordained in October. Thank you for your acceptance of us. Thank you for allowing us into your life and to have a wider foundation of spiritual leadership in your lives. Amen. And so we count that an honor. You don't have to do that, but we're very grateful that you have. To be honest, I didn't know how I felt about a woman being up here and a woman being pastor for a while. And I don't know if anyone else has had those thoughts and had to wrestle with those verses. And it was probably about that time where God encouraged me to listen to some other women preachers, and they were talking about that subject. And I've always been very grateful for Peter's support, Peter, my husband. And he has released me to do this, to do what I believe God called me to do. Amen. And he has not held me back, and I am very grateful for that. Thank you. I'm just also very grateful for Pastor, too. He probably saw this in me way longer, way before I could see it in myself. And that's a good pastor to keep cultivating that and to call out the potential that's within you. And we all have it. We all have a calling. We all have something within us that God has called us to do, and he has equipped you to do it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, so even though I've been asked to address the ladies this morning, I know that there are things that men can get out of what we're talking about today. And even if you don't, as a man, anyone have a woman in their life that you could help? Yes? No? Anyone want a woman in their life? No? Okay. Anyone have a mom? Okay, hopefully that catches just about all of us, okay? Okay, so my prayer this morning is that we catch a glimpse of God's heart for us. I started with this question. God, what do you want your daughters to hear? What do you want to tell them this morning as it pertains to relationships? And so I hope that you catch his heart for his daughters this morning. It's not a lesser love for you. It's extravagant. It is weighty. It's a beautiful love for you. Amen? Okay, so I felt like the things that he had me say this morning have to do first with our relationship to him. Okay, all right, let's pray. All right, Father, we invite you and thank you so much that you are mighty to save, that you hear us when we call and you are faithful to answer. Father, thank you that that you are here this morning, and that even if we aren't 100% sure what you're going to do and what how you're carrying us through, Father, I know that you are very faithful and that you've never left us before. And so, Father, we worship you and we thank you so much that you open our hearts and speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go to Galatians 2. We're going to start in verse 18 here. Galatians 2, if you have your Bible. And if not, the ushers have some they can bring to you. Okay, starting in verse 18. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes, Lord.
I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Though that's one of my favorite verses, verse 20. We're going to hone in on that today, okay? Just so you know, there's so much in just that verse alone that I'm not going to cover all of that today. So just so you know, it's not going to be an exhaustive study of everything that this verse contains. It's a pretty weighty verse. Okay, it's one of my favorites, as I said. Anyone seen Zoolander? If you haven't, please don't. Don't see it. I'm not recommending that in any way. But if you have seen it, you understand that Ben Stiller's character is is a model, a supermodel, and he has won this Model of the Year award, you know, so many years running. Well, in this movie, Owen Wilson's character overthrows him. He gets the title of Male Model of the Year. And so then Ben Stiller's character runs out into the street and looks in a puddle on the street and says, "Who am I?" And his reflection replies, "I don't know." And so then, of course, a car drives by and splashes all the mud in his face, and you know, then the movie goes on. But he learns that there's more to himself than just being really, really ridiculously good-looking, right? So we're going to ask the Zoolander question today. If you could get out a piece of paper, we're going to write down, "Who are you?" So write down, "Who am I?" And then just jot a couple of things down, okay? All right. We need some paper. All right, you guys got it? All right. Okay, so sometimes it's easier to define a word by what it's not first. So we're going to do that throughout this message here. We're going to define what it's not first. Please, if I say any of these things that you wrote down, or any of the things that you wrote down, and that's what I classify as not, please don't feel any condemnation. We are growing and learning here, okay? I don't know if I would have been able to answer this question not that long ago. Okay, so what it's not, our identity is not a role or title, either at home or church or work or wherever.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not our weight or size. It's not what we look like in the mirror. It's not how many likes we get on Facebooks or retweets on Twitter. I know we like to log on and see a little notification thing. Ooh, someone liked something of ours. That's awesome.
Speak.
We're not half of another person. Sorry, Jerry Maguire fans. He was wrong. We're not completed by someone else. We're not, our identity is not what sorority or fraternity we pledge to, or if we're the best soccer or PTO mom. And it's most certainly not the sins that we've committed.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Our identity is that we are a daughter of the King. We are made in his image, as it says in John 1:12, that we are his children. There's going to be a lot of scriptures. I'll have a handout in the back as you leave that has a whole list of all the things that we are, okay, from his word. So if you don't get all the scriptures written down, don't worry about it. We are his masterpiece from Ephesians 2:10. We are the beloved, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. We are the redeemed.
Yes, Lord.
Colossians 1:14. We are Jesus' friend. John 15:15. We can go on and on and on, right? Okay, if we go back to our verse in Galatians, I don't know if you guys have the verse. Do we have that? In Galatians 2, verse 20. It says that I died. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So if we look in the context of this verse, it's the Bible that the Bible talks about the law and grace. So any of these things that I'm saying this morning cannot be earned.
Yes, Lord.
They cannot be earned. This is only received by grace and your belief in what God has called you to be. So we are spirit, soul, and body. Before we go any further, we'll talk, you know, a little bit more about our identity. I made this little heart here, and this I got from Pastor Tran, and it's you know, kind of just a common way to think about our souls and our spirits and that kind of thing. Okay, so we are a spirit. Remember, he had us repeat this over. We are a spirit. You can repeat after me. We are a spirit.
We are a spirit.
We have a soul.
We have a soul.
And we live in a body. Okay, so if we accepted Jesus Christ, it's our spirits right in here that have been made new. So these parts right here, this is the part that comes alive, and this is the part that's made new. So 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation." This is the part that becomes new. "The old thing have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So, well, look, we have this other part, mind, will, and emotions, and that's what our soul is made out of, our mind, will, and emotions. And that's the part that still needs to get that message, right? That we've been made new.
Yes, Lord.
So our minds, our will, and emotion need to receive that message and be reprogrammed. And what do we call that? We call that renewing our mind. Right? Because our will and emotions flow out of what our mind thinks. So renewing our mind in Romans 12:2, that's what that comes from.
Yes, ma'am.
When I was talking to Gene about this message, he explained it like this, that we now have the capacity to hear from Jesus and to choose a different path.
Yes, Lord.
Can I share a testimony from when God showed me this?
Amen.
Okay. All right, I brought a few of my journals here this morning, and just wanted to read when he made this come alive to me, okay? All right, so this is 2003 here. I'm just catching up on a major lifestyle change that happened to me in mid-February. I can't believe I'm reading my journal in front of you all. I just realized that. I was listening to a tape of some testimonies, and this one lady had an amazing mission statement for herself as a wife and a mom. I realized that laziness was the one thing holding me back from God and being excellent in all things. It started first with what I thought about myself. I had tried to wake up in time and talk with God, but always failed. Every time I would make a commitment like that, there would be exceptions. I would make exceptions for myself that I would give myself. I thought I was lazy, so almost expected failure. With God's help and a new view and attitude of myself, I've been up, out of bed, on time consistently, and in enough time to read and pray in the mornings.
Yes, God.
I am truly less tired during the day and much more effective. So that's just one area that God helped me to really uncover some of the thoughts that I had about myself, and was able then to use His Word and His Spirit to change that. Amen?
Amen.
When your spirit is renewed and your mind is transformed, your will and emotions follow suit. Okay, so let's take a look at what you wrote on your paper. Okay? And like I said, please don't feel any condemnation about what you wrote. It just shows where we're at and what we're believing God for.
Okay? Yes,
God. So do you see yourself as only defined by the many hats that you wear? What's your self-talk like? Self-talk, what's playing over and over in your head about you? Do you get your value or worth by what you do? And is your identity wrapped up in being with another person? I can say for myself, you know, I didn't really know. I just didn't really have good thoughts about myself, as I had just shared one area. But I thought, like, oh, Peter's so talented and just so gifted. So if God put me with him, then I must have some kind of something to offer. Honestly, I thought that for quite a while. No matter if you said yes to any of those I just mentioned, or you wrote one of those things down in your paper, I'm believing God to show you who you are today and give you something new to write down in your paper. Okay, do we see how our identity affects our relationships, and all other areas of life? Yeah? Okay. All right, second, we're going to talk about security. So write down what helps you feel secure. This is a huge one for women. What helps you feel secure? Men, you can write one down too if you want to join us. What helps you feel secure? Are we good? Okay, security is not. Remember, sometimes it helps to define what it's not first. It's not everything's going well. When does that ever happen anyways? It's not a paycheck or a blanket or a diamond ring or a deadbolt lock on your door, a nice car or home. It's not a retirement plan. It's not perfectionism. And it's not education. Although we understand that some of those help in the natural realm.
Yes, ma'am.
But security, if we go back to our verse, Galatians 2:20, security is Christ living in you. First thing about that is that he's right there with you the whole time. He has never left you. He's not leaving. And you don't have to do anything alone anymore. He's right there with you. Hebrews 6:19 says that your soul can be anchored. Remember, your mind, will, and emotions can be anchored in Jesus Christ. What does that mean for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to be anchored in Jesus Christ? We're no longer being tossed to and fro by every feeling or thought or, whatever we choose to do, right?
Yes, Lord.
There's so much security also in knowing that Jesus is the same yesterday,
thank
today,
you,
and forever. You know, I used to think like, oh, that's kind of boring. You're the same all the time. But there's so much security in that. He's never in a bad mood. He's never, done with you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's pretty good, huh? Okay. Our insecurities are shown by our communication. Right? Sometimes if we're afraid that someone might leave us or they might be upset with us, we just don't say what we should say. We're just afraid to really, say what we mean. I can attest to that growing up in a house where I love my dad. He has an anger issue, though, had an anger issue. And so I spent a lot of my years just tiptoeing. I don't want to upset anything, I like things to just be stable and no one rock the boat, please. Let's just tiptoe. Let's not say, what needs to be said because it might upset him, and then it seems like the world comes crashing down when you're little. Our insecurities show by our focus on ourselves. Who's ever been self-conscious? Anyone? Taryn Wells tweeted that the indicator of pride and insecurity is the inability to sincerely celebrate others.
Yes, ma'am.
I had to retrain my brain, like when I'm passing someone in the store or, just out wherever. What's the first thing you think when you look at somebody? Like, ooh, she should not be wearing that. What is she doing with her hair? Anyone think like that?
Yeah, no.
I had to retrain my brain to be able to first pick out what's good about that person.
You, Jesus.
And I don't even know them. That's just outward appearance. No? Our insecurities show by jealousy. Jealousy is just believing that God doesn't have something good for you. He has it for other people, but not for you. Our insecurities show by fear. Lisa Bevere said, you either pass on your faith to your children or your fears. And I totally see that in my kids. And so it helps me to be honest with them about, the reason I came to Christ was because I had so many fears. I couldn't sleep at night. Just always worried that something was wrong with me, that I was sick or, had some disease or something. And when it came down to it, hey, Josh, how's it going? Sorry, I didn't see you. When it comes down to it, that's why I accepted Jesus Christ, is because I was like, I'm not sure if he's actually going to be on my side if something does happen to me. And fear was one of those things that he just wiped away, like just like that. Now, other things in Christ can sometimes take a while. But for that thing, it was gone.
Very
he
well
just...
spoken.
He just kind of cut it off of me. Let's see, our insecurities show by controlling others. Do we feel a need to control others? If so, then maybe we need to check where our security lies. Our insecurities show by giving attention to haters. If we care what people think about us, maybe we need to check our security. Our securities show by obsessions, and our insecurities show by a neediness of people or stuff that then become idols. It's interesting that that men display insecurity by pride.
Yes, ma'am.
Have we noticed this ever? So pride means that you feel small, and so then the definition of pride is to be puffed up. So then if you feel small, you use pride to help yourself look bigger than you actually are. So how do we know we're secure in Christ? Okay, I brought one other journal here about when God showed this to me. And just because he showed once, I mean, he continues to show it over and over and over again. So this is from November 2003. It says, "I know the security of your arms, Father. I am a child in your arms, receiving love for no reason at all, but just because you're a loving Father. I remember when I realized you as my Father, what a sense of safety and security that I felt. I want you to know that I would do anything for you, and even though I don't have to, do anything to gain your affection." He just revealed what a sense of security there is in him being a father. I don't know what your experiences are or what your childhood was like with your father, but you can know the arms of a loving God, a loving Father.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Do we see how our security in Christ can help our relationships this morning? All right, last one we're going to talk about is rest. And let's see. Okay, so what helps you to rest? Watching TV, yeah. What helps you to rest? Just write it down. Have any of us women ever just said, "I'm just tired"? I'm just tired. Please don't say sick and tired. It's a bad confession. Don't say that. All right, so rest is not a sleeping pill.
Yes, Lord.
Or 2 hours in front of the TV. Or checking Facebook, even though I feel like, I just do that to just get away from the world, or that doesn't make any sense, though, does it? Because it's people, too. But I end up feeling more tired after some of those things than I did even before, right? So rest is not a vacation, although that sounds really awesome right now. And rest is not the absence of drama or thought. There's always going to be drama. Thank you. All right, rest is the last part of our verse. "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." It's the key word right there, faith. Another word to use right there is abiding. What does it mean to abide? In Hebrews, there's such a connection of faith, obedience, and rest. Like when we're really believing God that he has our best interest in mind, it's easier to obey. Even if it seems like it doesn't make sense at the time, we believe that what he tells us is the very best for us, right? And then when we've been in obedience, we can rest knowing that he has all the details worked out, that he has all of the areas of our life in his hands. Is that right? So that's in Hebrews, if you guys want to look that up. So it's really about trust. Trust in the one who loves you and gave himself for you. It's casting all of your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And it's not letting the cares of this life be your focus. Could we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God for a second? We've all heard that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's actually not a balanced life, is it? Seeking first the kingdom of God. It's actually not a balanced life. Does that make sense? Is that kind of toying with some of our ideas about, you know, things should be in balance? It's not. It's a focused life. When I was a little bit younger, I heard a testimony of a mom that just felt like she just didn't have any time to spend with God. She didn't have any time to read her Bible. Just young kids at home, always something to do. Has anybody felt like that? Yes. So she felt from the Lord to commit to spending time with him every day. Put the cleaning aside. Maybe the kids watch an extra half hour of TV. You know, just something. Maybe give them some quiet time. And so she had committed to reading her Bible for 1 week. And guess what her testimony was? She was able to accomplish more in that 1 week than she had been previously. Is that good? I found that for my own life also. Yeah. So how does rest play out in our daily life? I was doing a little bit of research about the differences between men's brains and women's brains, and it was shown that women's brains are actually a little bit more complex than men's. We knew that already, though, didn't we? Because we're smart. Yeah. So they're a little bit more complex than men's. So we are geared towards multitasking. We are geared towards that, to doing so many things at one time. But if our minds are always racing, are we actually trusting God? Are we actually living that life of flesh in faith? Let's try spinning only the plates that God gives us. Sometimes we're adding on extra things to juggle and spin, and you know, he didn't give you those. His burden is easy and light, and he provides you the grace to be able to do what he has called you to do. So 2 Peter 1:3 says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Key word there being knowing him. He's given us the tools we need for anything in life through knowing him.
Yes, Jesus.
So what's it going to take to know him? Not to do more stuff, but to know him. How do we know we're in the God kind of rest? Well, do we worry? We have worry. Come from a long line of worriers, but that's going to be cut off from me. Do we need substances to escape the demands of life? You know, even in this room, I know that we've encountered people that feel like they need, you know, even cough medicine to feel better, to help with life. Do we need alcohol? To escape from the things of life? Do we need cigarettes or painkillers? The good thing about about this, though, is that if the Holy Spirit lives right here in you, then in Romans 8:11 it says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you and is able to help you with anything you need. So if you find yourself in one of these things, and there is a way. There is a way. I believe that God's Spirit is able.
Yes, Lord.
What's your go-to thing when you can't handle life? Do we have peace? Do we still try to do things our own way? Or are we refusing to surrender to the one who loves you beyond comprehension?
Amen. Help.
And like I told you earlier, rest from fear is the reason that I came to Christ. Okay, do we see how resting and abiding and trusting and living by faith can affect our relationships? Okay, I just want to take a few minutes for you to ask God to transform your mind in any of these areas that we talked about this morning. We're going to watch a video, but ask, like, is my identity in Him? Is my security fully anchored in Jesus Christ? And am I trusting God and being at rest for the cares of life?